Nothing says summer like a rich, creamy ice cream float from Skyline. Made with two scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream and your choice of Barq's Root Beer, Barq's Red Cream Soda, or any of their Coke products. At participating Skyline locations while supplies last.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Coffee Talk. If you've just joined, Coffee Talks are the short in-between episodes where we read your user-submitted stories, hang out with friends, talk about witchy pop culture, or chat with you about what's going on in our personal practices.
If you want to be featured on Coffee Talk, email us at submissions@coffeeandcauldrons.com, or you can send us your submissions on our website, coffeeandcauldrons.com. You can also send us your tips, your ghost stories, or any kind of funny story you think the community would love to hear. Be sure to let us know if we can share your name or if you'd prefer to be anonymous. Your social media usernames are also a great way to get credit. So we have a class, a very exciting class. I do want to mention the class before.
Because
we're going to have Hannah Hawthorne on our Discord giving a class on astrology, Astrology 101.
Yeah, and it's an intro to astrology class. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, she wrote the book, The Magic of Birthdays, which is all about astrology and the astrology of birthdays and how to do it magically. So amazing. We're very excited for the class and hopefully I'm making sense.
She's making a PowerPoint. She sent me little teaser images of it, and I'm so excited. I think it's gonna be really good.
I like that Capricorn Virgo energy.
Typical. I wish I had them even any amount of that kind of energy in my chart at all. Instead, it's all water and air. I'm doing my best.
we're both doing our best. So, what you been up to lately?
I've actually been super busy and in a good way. Busy in a good way.
Good way. We like busy in a good way.
I added a new offering option on my website for tarot readings, to do them as a text service. So it's kind of more it's for people who really like the video chat option as a theory, but they have social anxiety, they don't want to be on camera, or let's say they're working and they want to be able to talk in the daytime and they just can't schedule that FaceTime kind of chat. It's that essentially. And I've been loving it because it's just like my day job. And so it's something that I'm really used to, and not that I'm not used to the other, type of tarot reading, but I really prefer this format. I don't have to brush my hair.
Honestly, as a reader and as someone who likes to get their cards read, I prefer that method.
I love it. And because the thing is that I have tarot cards everywhere. I got them in my purse. There's one in my car. I have one in the kitchen. I have one at my desk. I have tarot cards everywhere. So if I get in, as long as I'm next to my cards, right? I can answer the question right away. If not, I can be within tarot cards in 30 minutes or something. And then I can answer their questions. And I like it. I like that format a lot.
I felt really personally attacked by you saying all the places you have tarot cards, because
one deck. So when I say that I have the cards in all those spaces, it's not that I have multiple too many decks. It's not that at all. It's that I'm a witch, so the cards just magic themselves into another room.
Or you just use the tarot decks in your mind's eye.
Yeah. You know what's even worse about it? Is that all those decks that I just listed that I have places are all different versions of the Rider-Waite-Smith. They aren't even fun decks.
I hate that. I hate when a really cute new version of the Rider-Waite-Smith deck drops and I'm well, shit, I want that one too. Because it's still the same card. They just did something different with the colors or something. And I'm gotta have it. I gotta have it.
Well, at my day job, it's such a fast-paced format. mm-hmm. that having a like indie deck, a pip deck, anything like that, I literally don't have the time to be like, what does this card mean again? Because it's like, you know, three rocks. And I have to be like, rocks are, oh, right, they're, you know, pentacles or whatever. You know what I mean?
What Robin is describing is mom brain. Yes, we both have it.
So I don't have the time, right? I don't have the time to sit and be like, what is rocks on this deck? Ooh, what is that? Or like, even worse, is, you know, the pip decks that just have the numbers?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And I'm like, ah. You want me to do Roman numerals for 13? So I'm like, I sat there going, all right, jacks, pages, and like doing the math. I don't have time for that. So I have to have Rider-Waite Smith because I don't have time to pause on stuff at my day job. And so I literally just have Rider-Waite Smith decks scattered everywhere.
Yeah, about the Roman numeral things, I didn't start really, like, learning the Roman numerals until I, like, started devoting more time to tarot.
Embarrassing, like, for both of us.
It's so embarrassing. We are
luckily so pretty, like, honestly.
But now I feel so smart, because if someone showed me, you know, honestly, 1 through 10, or even, like, what is it, 1 through 28, I'm good.
I feel smart every day whenever tarot gets brought up, and I get to talk about the occult esoteric symbolism in a card. I get to be like, yeah, let me just pull out my giant brain really quick. Yeah, I'm actually really smart. Let me talk to you about, you ever heard of the Archangel Michael? Let's talk about that.
She's got a big brain.
Yeah. No, I am not Jewish. I don't speak Hebrew, but I can give you a little bit of an idea of, like, Hebrew letters because of tarot. Couldn't tell you anything else. So I get to feel, like, really well-rounded and knowledgeable about things.
Well, I think that's all smart people do, is that they're just well-rounded in, like, one particular spot, and they just talk about that one particular thing over and over again.
Or they know a little bit about a lot of things, so they sound really smart.
Actually, those are my favorite type of people, because they, like, bring up the most random facts, and it's like, wow, I'm never gonna forget that thing.
Thank you. When I was a teenager, in the early days of the internet, there was a website called Cheeseburger.
Oh my God.
Remember that?
I do.
And every day they had a different random fact at the top of it. And I, like, absorbed so many, like, useless details because of Cheeseburger that I've just never forgotten.
That is so funny how things like that work out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. What are, like, enough talking about me. What are you doing lately?
So nothing really ghostly or anything has happened. And I just had my birthday and it was super amazing and just what I needed. And it, I don't know. I wish I could relive it all. Like, we even stayed at a hotel that had a rooftop bar, and they had this one area that had this gold sun that was on the ceiling that was like, it was an indoor outdoor space, and it was just so beautiful, and I felt so magical in that moment.
Did you take a photo of it?
I did. I took a video of it. I posted it to Instagram.
Immediately sent it to me.
But it was so pretty.
Sounds pretty.
I'm gonna go back. But I have been reading a new book. Who's surprised? No one's surprised.
I'm reading The House Witch that you recommended a couple episodes ago.
Are you liking it?
I really like it, yeah.
It's so funny. I really like it.
I really like it.
I had to force myself to take a break between the second and third so I could read this one book. And it's Wayward. And it's about, like, three different generations of witches. And okay, if you are very sensitive to trauma, I would not read it, but it is very good. Like, I literally cannot put it down. Like, these women have such, like, a deep connection with nature that is so magical, and I love how the author describes it. And I'm like, I want that. Because it's kind of like that magical realism thing.
There is a book that everybody is talking about right now called Song of Achilles. I just had to look it up to make sure that I didn't just make up the title in my head. And everybody is, like, crying and saying how it's, like, causing emotional damage, and that honestly makes me want to read it even more.
I know.
I used to not be that way, like reading like sad, like wayward. Oh. I would have been like, I'm putting this down. This is horrible. Like, but now that I'm older, I'm like, yes, I want to cry.
Yeah, it's so fucked up. Like, I've seen, like, do you know, well, of course you know, Frankie of Chaotic Witch Aunt?
Yeah.
They posted it, and they were like, you know, what the fuck is wrong with you people for recommending this book to me? And I'm like, I would like to read this book. I enjoy pain.
That reminds me of the Great Witch of Bethany. Like, I think I mentioned it, like, way, like, maybe earlier this year.
It sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah, but I swear I cried at least once every chapter.
Oh, my gosh.
It was so good. Like, it is on my bookshelf that it's paperback, and it's full of, like, it's all of my important books I have in hardback, but I'll keep it there on paperback. That's how much I love
it. All my important books. Listen to you. You're so cute.
Thanks.
I just want to feel something when I read a book. Either I want to be laughing, I want to feel transported somewhere else, I want to be, like, invested, crying, like, I need to feel something when I'm reading a book. And if I don't feel anything, I'm like, goodbye. I will never look at this book again. That's why I do Kindle Unlimited, because I just cannot be bothered to spend $25 on a book that I feel nothing by, like, 50 pages in. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, you know what? This is not for me.
I feel like, I don't know. I feel like the older that we get, the more that we like books like that. And then also, I know a lot of people have problems with books with really descriptive imagery. Like, if you go through, like, through Ninth House or its sequel, Hellbent, like, there's tons of reviews complaining about how the author is too descriptive. And I'm like, really? I love, like, picturing the place around me. And they're like, you know, what is it? Like, write it, don't show it, or something. I forgot what the term is, but it's like, I like that.
Am I an author? I like descriptive books. I like things to be descriptive. I like to be able to kind of imagine the scenario. What I don't like is the over description of, like, things that are just not necessary to be over-described. And I think this comes from the fact that I love reading romance novels. And romance novels, the bad ones, and when I say bad ones, because they're all bad, let's be honest, the none of them are like, this should get a Nobel Prize. Like, they're all bad books. But the ones that are like, oh God, I shudder to even, like, use this as an example. It's like when they describe, like, the genitals specifically. Like, it'll be like, ugh. I am, like, picturing a very specific example. Okay, I'm gonna say this right now. Trigger warning if you don't want to hear something gross about a penis. I'll wait. When it'll be like, the tip of his shaft had one single drop of pre-cum coming down it. She quivered in shakes. His veins rose from the... And I'm like, I didn't need to know that.
No.
I didn't need to know that at all.
Why are you saying the latest Sarah J. Maas books? Because that's literally how it is.
I just, like, I love a good romance novel. Listen, I've read many a book that has a quivering member in it, okay? But there's, like, a line in, like, the descriptive detail where we're just like, maybe I didn't need to know that. Curious why you felt it had to be included.
it's too much. I don't want to picture that.
I like the over detail though when we're talking about things like scenery or if we're describing how a person looks, because then I get this pure picture in my head and I feel like I can really take that with me through the book, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Like,
I don't need to know about the drop of pre-cum. I just don't.
Or how a lot of cis male people write women, like, her boobs heaved as they glistened in the sun.
Her nipples pointed towards the sun. Like, bitch, whose nipples are pointing towards the sun? Like, maybe I'm just old now. I've seen a lot of boobs in my life. I went to art school. Whose nipples are pointing towards the sun? Even if you have perky boobs, they're pointing forward, not up.
I just think a lot of like authors like that think that they're like wacky inflatable Armin. Like they just go. I mean, maybe like when we're 80, they might be that way, Bob. And we will own it, but
oh my goodness. Hey, CJ fucking Smith or whatever like weird pen name that you've got, that's not actually how women are built at all. Actually, have you ever we're getting way off topic here, but that's fine. Have you ever listened to the podcast My Dad Wrote a Porno?
No.
First of all, you should. At least the first season. If you guys have never listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno, you need to listen to the first season. The premise is, guy about our age finds out that his dad wrote a series of erotic fictions under a pen name. And the podcast is him reading his dad's very bad erotic fictions. Like to the audience, and his two friends are there. They kind of like talk about it and have a little back and forth banter about the erotic fiction. He reads a chapter and episode, and there is a chapter where he says, mind you, the guy is Irish, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or he's English, but his dad's Irish, something like that. He, in one chapter, describes the woman's nipples as hard as rivets on the Titanic. And I know. And the guy, the narrator, whose dad it is, I think his name is Jamie. I could be wrong, but I think his name is Jamie. Was like, I feel like that's in poor taste considering we had actual relatives who died on the Titanic.
Oh no.
And so honestly, it's a great one of the greatest podcasts I've ever listened to. It's so funny. I only made it to the end of the second season, I think. Mm-hmm. It's just like life got in the way. But it's one that my husband and I listen to in full because it's nothing but stuff like that. At one point, that's hilarious. He says he grabs the woman's cervix. So...
I didn't know it was catchable.
This girl Alice, who is the friend, is like, does he know where the cervix is located? She's like, you need medical equipment to get up there.
Oh no.
Great podcast. Oh, no. 10 out of 10.
I need to listen to it.
You really do. You and your wife need to listen to it and then report back to me because you're going to love it. Like, you're going to love it. It's one of those things that anybody I know that I've recommended that podcast to has been like, I am so glad that I got this. Like, I'm so glad I listened to this. It's so funny. Because it is. It's really, really... It's uncomfortable, though. I'm not going to pretend like it's not. Because it is an erotic fiction written by a man who seems as though he does not have three children and that he maybe hasn't had sex ever.
Oh no. Well, that sounds hilarious and I definitely want to listen, so
it's so funny.
Have you been digging into any magical books? Oh, sorry, what were we gonna
say? We just finished on the Discord, we just finished Wild Witchcraft in the book club. Mm-hmm. And we're starting Weave the Liminal.
Oh, that's such a good book.
I've already read it before, but everybody was talking about it and I was just like, let's just read it again. When I say again, I mean for me. Mm-hmm. Because I liked this book so much the first time that I'm actually so excited to read it again. It's been, because I read it when it first came out, which is like 2 years ago now, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I was on maternity leave. Like, I'm pretty sure.
I think I was rereading it and you were reading it, like we did at the same time.
Yeah. And so it's been a while. So I'm thinking just with my life having, for me personally, my life having evolved so much in that time, I'm thinking new perspective. It might be a really good reread.
Yeah, I agree.
It was such a good book the first time. I'm excited.
Honestly, when we brought it up in Discord, I was like, Should I listen to the audiobook version? I haven't done that before. Maybe we could do it. But I, like, as much as I love audiobooks, I can't do it for witchy books because I need it, like, in front of me and looking at it, especially if I'm enjoying it, because I want to take notes and I want to, like, highlight and do stuff.
It depends on, for me, it really depends on the narrator. Mm-hmm. Troy Books, who did, like, Black Toad and... what's the other one that they did that I read? I don't remember. Anyway, Troy Books does all the, like, traditional witchcraft books by, like, Gemma Gary and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Their narrator on Audible, at least, I cannot do it. Troy Books books are great. They're, love them. I think Gemma Gary is a genius. I love those books so much. Mm-hmm. I think that they're... Audible reader does those books such a disservice because it is just like dry information coming at you where I'm like, it would actually be faster if I just read it myself. This is not a good time.
Yeah, there are like tons of books like that where I'm like, this really shouldn't be on audiobook format. Like, or especially at least like get correspondence. A better reader. Well, correspondence books and stuff like that. It's just dry information where it's just like straight up information that's
Basil.
Like
you're good not for retain money, it. Wealth, prosperity, luck.
Don't you want to refer back? I mean, that's the whole like, point of correspondence books.
It can be like you could do a correspondence book like. Do you remember Dexter's Laboratory?
Yeah.
Do you remember the omelette fromage episode? It'd be like that. You listen to it overnight and you're just like, remember everything?
That would be amazing. Thanks.
And then you could only speak in correspondences. Oh my god.
Don't I already?
Real? Is that a real thing?
What, the subliminal messaging at night? Yeah, people do it to, like, quit smoking and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I always just thought that was, like, a cartoon thing.
No, my aunt did it, I believe. Huh? I don't think it worked. But it is a thing.
It's
it
real,
is a thing.
But not successful, guys. Do not try it.
And I know, actually, there's, like... YouTube videos where they have subliminal messaging under like white noise or something and you listen to it at night and it's like affirmations or like things that like, you know, to feel more confident or something, and like witches and people use it who need a little bit of oomph throughout their day. Yeah, I've never done it because I'm always scared that someone will have bad intentions and like
they'll
put
like
bad
subliminal
stuff in there.
Message me to like kill my family or something.
Exactly.
And then that's how the like, satanic panic started, guys.
Or be like, go spend all your money on these new Nikes. Okay, bye.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Like, some reason I really want Nikes. I don't own any.
I don't know. I can think about is Nikes. Nike TNs. I just want to look like a rude man.
But no, apparently therapists and psychologists use it, so.
Really? I mean, I think then if that was the case, I'd be really leery to do one on, like, YouTube or something. I'd want to find, like, an author. Or something, you know what I mean? Like, something that's been published and, like, vetted to some degree, so that way I'm not, like...
You know what it reminds me of? Josie and the Pussycats.
Oh my god, why is everything in this episode just us remembering things that happened when we were like 12?
Because we're old. We're 30. This is what we do. We reminisce.
You went to go see Hawthorne Heights, and now it's just like, it's 2005 again.
It is.
I'm going to dye my hair black and do a little like...
No one looked like it was 2005 there.
Oh my god. Are you ready to record today? And I'd be like, you can't tell me what to do, Mom.
Though I will say, the 30-something-year-old's like trying to crowd surf during Hawthorne Heights was very scary. And we should not be doing this at our age, especially when half of the audience is like little tiny ex-emo scene girls who cannot lift up a grown ass man.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so dangerous. Like, I literally had to look away like a bunch of times.
That's scary. So dangerous. So dangerous. So
the highlight of the night was someone seen dancing in the mosh pit.
Oh, no.
So good. They were doing the windmill arms. They did the, well, they did their best to do the high kick. It was.
That's amazing.
It was a sight to behold.
That's incredible in every way. I wish I had seen that. I'm really jealous. I used to go to emo night all the time when we still lived in San Francisco. It was so fun. So fun.
It was so good.
Now I'm old. I have a toddler and I have to get a babysitter to do things like anything.
Don't worry. Eventually you'll be like me and you'll have an almost high schooler who is
makes
very
me
self-sufficient.
Sick to think about, by the way.
Oh, it makes me sick to think about
that
it, too. I cannot
in
believe.
High school. I think when we met, they were 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Fucking psychotic.
It's horrible. Time passes by so fast when
the
you're
kid
older.
I used to nanny, there's two kids I used to nanny. The older one is going to be 17 this year.
Yeah. That's gross.
He used to like come home from school and he'd be like, Wobbin, do you want to play spa today, Wobbin? And now he's like, well, actually, and like, the thing is, I know he's joking, but it's still hate hearing it. He's like, Andrew Tate is the top G. And I'm just like, shut up. Shut up. I really like going over there, though, because I'm like his big sister. So like, he'll like do little clapbacks at his parents who like can't think of anything to come back. And I'm just like, yeah, well, you're a virgin who can't drive. And he's just like, what? What? I'm like, yeah, I'm not your mom. I can say stuff like that.
Emotional damage.
Emotional damage. Absolutely obliterated him. So
that
funny. Even his sister,
so
who's like 5 years younger than him, will try to do that too. I'm like, hey, no, you can't say that. You're 12. I can say that because I am a hilarious adult. You cannot say that though.
Oh my goodness. But yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Hate time.
Me too.
Speaking of it, which I think it is time.
Yeah, I think it is time. Yeah, so that being said, everyone, as we wrap up this episode, thank you very much for joining us this week for Coffee Talk. We hope to see you next time for our regular episode. You can check out our website for links to our submission forums or shoot us an email at submissions@coffeeandcultures.com to tell us any ghost stories, witchy stories, tips, or topics that you think the community would love to hear.
And as always, if you enjoy Coffee and Cauldrons, please take a moment to review us on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. Or if you want to support us directly, consider joining us on Patreon, where we share articles, special part 2 exclusive episodes, have a Spell of the Month box, and a Discord full of fun events. So full of fun events and great people. So yeah.
Yeah. Bye.